morning. Welcome to Digging the Dirt. I'm Ann Goldine, and this week we're going to talk about the Lower Columbia Preservation Society's 13th Annual Garden Tour. My guest is Pamela Allegria. She is the co-chair of the Garden Tour Committee. Good morning, Pam.
Good morning.
And well, let's talk. You know, garden tours are an opportunity to peek into other people's lives, other people's yards, and steal great ideas, design ideas. Maybe if they have a hillside they've done something with and you have a hillside that you're completely clueless about, you can come with a pad, your iPhone, your camera, and steal everything you want, right?
Yes, there are different rock gardens, terrace gardens, cottage gardens, large gardens, more urban gardens, so mm-hmm. quite a variety of mm-hmm. plants and trees.
Yeah. Well, now, some years the tour goes out of Astoria, and some years it stays in town.
It's always a secret.
It's okay. Well, that makes it very intriguing. I only know a little because I'm going to be one of the volunteers this year, and I know the one I'm going to be at, which is in Astoria. But I don't know anything else.
There are six gardens.
Okay, there are six gardens. All right, so let's talk about most garden tours are associated with some kind of a fundraiser, and this one is no exception.
Yes, it's a fundraiser, one of two, for the Lower Columbia Preservation Society, whose mission is to preserve, protect the historic structures in the Lower Columbia area. And it sponsors lectures and workshops to help people with renovations of their homes or commercial structures, and also maintenance of apartments, many of them historic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so the other big fundraiser that the Lower Columbia Preservation Society does is the
holiday tour.
Holiday tour, which is then you get to see the inside of people's homes. You get the intimate look in people's
yes.
lives.
Yes.
It's another fabulous event. And sometimes we get to see a person's or a family's yard in the summer and their house at the holidays.
Yes.
Which is so fun. You get the whole thing.
Yes, and if it weren't for our homeowners and gardeners, we wouldn't have these wonderful tours on both the summer and in December.
You know, that brings up a question. If a person has a great yard, or maybe they think they have a great yard, and they think, well, maybe other people would like to see my yard. I've completely changed it or whatever. How would they do that?
They would contact the Lower Columbia Preservation Society.
Okay.
And, you know, we like to have the gardens as early as possible so we can proceed on to other parts of the fundraiser.
Mm-hmm. And now, just because a person wants to be on the tour doesn't mean they will be on the tour.
We would like beautiful, well-kept gardens.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I know that, I mean, it's a process. Everyone's yard, even a very mature, established yard, is changing.
Correct. We've had some yards in years past. We've had them on again, and they're completely new gardens, sometimes mm-hmm. because of the weather, and sometimes because of the owner has decided, well, just like a room, you go, I'm tired of this. Let me do something else. So even though you may have seen the garden years ago, it's still a new garden in many aspects.
Absolutely. It's so true. I've seen several yards I've seen in multiple years, and it looks totally different every time. Well, also, every year is different, and so what will be blooming or what will be whatever, what will be at its peak will be different every year.
Well, there have been years where it has rained so hard that people have had to change their yards rather quickly if they're on the garden tour because they couldn't start weeding when it was they needed to.
Oh, yeah. Well, this hasn't been that year. This has been really a dry year. I mean, we had the last two weeks of quite a bit of rain. But before that, I think I've done the most weeding this year than I've ever done in this time of the year.
Yes, I mean, the flowers should be at their peak because of the rain and the sunshine.
Right. Oh, you know, we haven't said when the tour is. Let's talk about the date. It's Saturday, July 13th. So it's in a week from Saturday. And it starts at 10 and it goes to 3. And you get a map and your ticket on the day when you want to get them, when you want to go. And let's talk about where you go.
You go to purchase your tickets and raffle tickets at 17th and Grand, which is a dead end, from 9:30 to 1 p.m. The tour starts at 10 o'clock. There will be refreshments served at one of the gardens. And the tour tickets are $15 for non-members, and you can become a member at the purchasing of the ticket. You cannot purchase tickets at the gardens, only at 17th and Grand.
Right. Okay, let's talk about the raffle. That's a whole other thing. There's an amazing, it's a whole side thing. There's such cool stuff.
I mean, the community is so generous. We have raffle prizes from restaurants, hotels, nurseries, art places. It's just, they're very generous to the society, and they're wonderful prizes, and people look forward to that. It's in anticipation of these prizes.
They're spectacular. It blows my mind that every year it seems to get more amazing. You know, when you think it couldn't be topped, the prizes are just great.
Yes, they're beautiful prizes, and we thank the contributors for these prizes.
Yeah. And now that's at the end.
That's at the end, but you buy the tickets when you purchase raffle prizes tickets. Mm-hmm. At the same time you buy your tickets.
And then if you're at the last place and you have remorse that you haven't bought enough tickets, then there's always a last minute opportunity to buy some more.
Yes. But yes, there is. There's a mad rush.
I've got to have that lamp.
That's right.
Now, do you, but you don't actually, it's not like a silent auction where you're bidding on an item. You just put your tickets in the hat and they draw them out, and the next thing is the next person.
The more the merrier.
Uh-huh, right. But you're not bidding for a particular thing. But there are tons of them, aren't there?
Well, there are a lot, and they're all very, very beautiful raffle prizes. So I think anything you win, you would be happy.
Uh-huh. Oh, I would agree. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more. Listening to Digging the Dirt. I'm with Pamela Alegria of the Lower Columbia Preservation Society's Garden Tour, and we're talking about this upcoming tour on July 13th. Okay, so on this year's version, give us a little taste of what we get to see.
Okay, there's a Victorian garden. It has 100-year-old heirloom roses, exotic palms, horseradish.
Is horseradish historic?
No, it just starts with an H. That's okay. It. Okay. And then another garden is it's a large garden with a profusion of Japanese maples meandering through another garden in the same place, so you have different levels of flowering. The third garden is similar to an English garden, with just a prolifery of different flowers in a small space that provides a spectacular overall setting. The fourth one is a Shakespearean cottage garden with a variety of English daisies, lilies, potato vine, chocolate vine, roses, honeysuckle, herb garden.
So what makes it a Shakespearean garden? Are plants from...
Not from the era, because that would be a little difficult, but in terms of its design, it's Shakespearean.
Huh, interesting.
Then the fifth garden is has deer-proof plants. Everyone's wants a deer-proof plant, including myself.
Including myself.
And then there's in this garden as well, there's a variety of ferns and abundance of azaleas, green and white bed graced by a statue. So it has statues within the garden.
Wait, green and white bed, is that one bed that's green and white?
Yes, which is located near a flagstone patio.
Mm.
And there are eagles above this garden if you are a bird lover. And then the sixth garden is has silverbush and cotton eastern herb. It's a herb garden.
I think that's cotone aster.
Well, pronunciation isn't one of my fortes, and you are correct. It also has a water lily pond.
Oh.
And curly willow, dogwood camellia, and a garden with a bay tree and non-bark. A profusion of potted flowers.
Wow. I want to go back to the garden with the deer-proof deer-proof plants. I want to talk about deer. I don't know about other people. Well, I don't know how many deer we have in Astoria, but I see the ones that I claim to be my deer in other parts of town. In my end, you know, the east end of Astoria, I see them in other people's yards. And I see them eating sword ferns in my yard. So were the ferns in the yard with the deer-proof?
Let's see. I think, I'm not sure here. Well, in my experience, they eat everything. They're less apt to eat certain things and where they are located if they're really hungry. Where my mother's garden, they eat holly. Now that's hungry.
Oh, my. Well, I noticed we have a new couple hanging out, a buck and a doe. And the buck tried to eat a leaf on a fig tree this week and thought that wasn't very good. Just put it in its mouth and they went no. So and I went right after they left there and I looked and he didn't even dent the leaf. It was too thick, too funky, too furry.
Yes.
Certainly they don't like rugosa roses. There are some things that they hate, but I have a row of, okay, what did I count? 8 roses on the west side of my house, and I've kind of given them up as deer food. They just look pathetic.
Yes. My conclusion is they love red.
Oh, that is interesting.
That's not scientific.
Red. Oh, God, that's hilarious.
Yes, and we have a fig tree, and they haven't eaten it. And it's known as it's a negroid fig, which is supposedly deer resistant. And so far it worked, even that we had 2 deer fighting in front of this fig tree. But they didn't eat the fig tree, but they battled themselves quite badly.
They certainly do like berries, though.
Yes, they like berries.
We have all the raspberries now in a big metal cage. And there was one place where the mesh in the front was up a little from where I was weeding. And they did the typical thing. They took it down to, you know, 1 foot, the lush new growth on it, the new one raspberry that they could get to.
Yes. And I also feel that if surrounding people feed the deer, you're more apt to have deer.
Oh, I think we now have an ordinance in Astoria that you're not supposed to, that it's illegal to feed wildlife. It would be lovely if people didn't. I mean, there's certainly enough for them to eat. They don't need cat food, dog food, whatever people would feed them. What would people feed them?
Apples.
Oh. Oh, I wouldn't do that.
So there's always, it's a perennial problem for all gardeners here, some more than others, depending upon the location of your garden.
Yeah.
And there are all sorts of remedies. One gardener put discs around her garden, not on this tour, but...
You mean like CDs?
Yes, silver discs.
Oh, so they would... I wonder if that would work at all.
I don't know.
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm redoing my garden this summer, and I'm going to take all those roses out, and they look terrible. And what am I going to plant along the west side of my house? And I'm looking around for plants that are deer resistant. So I'm looking at California lilac. There's a ceanothus.
Right.
But there are ceanothus that are big leafed that are apparently deer attractant, but the ones with little leaves are much more deer resistant. So I'm looking at really short ones that are deer resistant.
Well, I think deers are elitist eaters in that they're in my neighbor's next garden and they poo-pooed the buttercup and then found a really succulent leaf and then they started munching. So I think if it's work, I think they're rather lazy as well. That's my...
I was watching this other doe in my neighbor's yard. We're kind of above them. So I was watching, and I was watching what she was eating. And she tasted pretty much everything and would stay at the thing she liked. But the thing that surprised me the most, she was enjoying an artichoke leaf.
Maybe she's a vegetarian.
That was weird, but she totally sheared off. Oh, they just replanted. What was it? This it's a pink flower. It's a big hedge. They're blooming right now.
Sharon, Rose of Sharon.
It's not a rose. No,
oh, it isn't.
It's not a rose. It's I can't think of what it is. But anyway, it was low, great height for deer eating, and because it's a relatively new plant, maybe 2.5-3 feet tall, took all the new growth off that. So I'm like, I'm not planting that. Definitely not going to plant that. We have grape arbor. And they in years past, they would never eat grape leaves until the fall. Well, they started early this year. So we had to, net the grapes. They don't like net, like bird netting. They mm-hmm. don't like that at mm-hmm. all. They don't even try to get near it. So that's a good... we've got to throw it over the blueberries because I know they're going to be up there.
Yes.
It's
a lot of work to keep the deer away.
Oh, we've planted all these fruit trees in our yard and every one of them is in a big metal cage. A wire, mm-hmm. like a chicken wire cage. And we have to keep expanding. My husband, keep expanding the cage as the trees grow. He planted a plum tree last summer, and he planted it one afternoon. The next morning, there was not a leaf left. I mean, it took that long for them to say, ooh, new food. And so okay, then a cage went up that day, and then some new leaves came, and this year it looks really good. But what a sabotage.
With the 6 gardens that are on the tour, you can ask the gardeners how they have deer-proofed them or what their strategies are, because they still have beautiful blooms and other plants. So that would be an opportunity for someone to...
So all of the the owners will be there.
Yes.
Oh, great. So you can ask them anything, including if they don't have the plants labeled. I love it when the yard has all the plants labeled, but most gardeners don't do that. You know, they don't have a, whatever, it's not a conservatory.
Well, they're focused on weeding now. I met one of the gardeners recently, and I said, how's your garden? So everyone's wishing for good weather. It's rain or shine. It's beautiful even in the rain, and it only lasts 10 minutes. And that's the gardeners have worked very hard for very beautiful gardens.
You know, one of the things about if your house and your garden is on a tour, it's very stressful for you because you want to put your best face forward. You want your garden to look the best. You want your house to look the best. And so, yeah, in every minute you have spare, you're going to be pulling a weed or putting a pot somewhere or filling in something or doing something to make, oh, yeah, right, you know, getting a new idea. And up to the last minute at 9:30 on Saturday yes. morning saying, oh, my, run to the nursery. We need another three whatevers. To, yes. It's, I've read lots of gardeners' writings about the anxiety of getting ready for a garden tour and how it is. And of course, we, the visitors, love it. I mean, any yard that's not my yard that I didn't have to do the work to make it beautiful, I appreciate. I don't even see the things that they find as flaws.
And it's just amazing the different designs from the same flowers in different gardens. Mm-hmm. So you have just not only the beautiful flowers, the design, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and the geographic location of how it's all put together.
Right. And of course, visitors to the garden are welcome to take notes, take pictures, do anything, you know, really, not take cuttings. But short of taking plants and parts of plants, to take ideas home and figure out how to make those ideas work in your own yard. I know about 5 years ago on the tour, Fairy Wand showed up. I can't remember what the official name, the scientific name is. But suddenly they started showing up everywhere because people went, I love that. You know, I called Linda Brim up and said, Linda, I got to have this plant. So, you know, she got a bunch of them. And now there's a bunch of them all over the place. And you drive around this time of year and they're all blooming. And it started from one person, I think on Irving, had one. And it was so spectacular. Everyone wants one. Now I have. They're self-seeding, not badly, but I have one near the stump of my old eucalyptus tree. And they're going around, and it's just lovely to have those big pink wands waving, looking like pink fishing lines in the yard. So I've really taken advantage of the opportunity to get plant ideas, to get design ideas, hardscape ideas, you know, how to do a deck or a patio with some cool pavers, or there are placements of pots. You know, there are so many ideas you can get.
And there are flowers in July, and these gardens will prove that.
Oh, absolutely. There are tons of flowers.
Well, that's exactly right. Spring isn't the only time for flowers.
Oh, not at all. God, there are roses blooming all over the place. I have poppies all over the place right now. Oh, yeah. I have the remnants of all kinds of things. Lilies. Mm. Lilies are in profusion right now.
Yes.
I mean, they're in all different stages of early, middle, daylilies, oriental lilies. Yeah, there's a ton of things blooming. I don't know about some clematis. There are probably even some different clematis blooming. I don't think there are any of those in my garden right now. But yeah, it's a great time. It hasn't been too hot. Do any of these people have vegetables in their yards?
It's mostly herbs. Uh-huh. There are some vegetables.
Uh-huh. It's fun to see vegetables intermingled in a more formal garden, or even in a more relaxed garden. It's fun to see how people are integrating food near the kitchen, you know, in the yard, so mm-hmm. that it's not out in the back 40.
Yeah, so there's a variety of everything.
That's going to be fun.
And they're all beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. Now, if people want to become a member of the society? How would they do that?
They can go on the website for the Lower Columbia Preservation Society. If when you come to the garden tour, we will have brochures that we hand out, and that will give you information.
And so you can actually join on that day.
Yes.
And you get a reduction in your ticket.
Yes. And all the benefits that goes with it.
All the classes and workshops. Yeah. Now, could you give the website? No?
It's out of my head, but...
Probably if you just Google Lower Columbia Preservation Society, you'll get it.
If you have any questions on the for the garden tour, 503-325-8024 or 503-325-3245.
Great. And if you didn't get those numbers, you can give us a call when we go off the air, and you can get them again. And I am really looking forward to this. And, you know, one of the things that people might not know is if you volunteer on this tour, you get a pre-tour. All the people that are working on the tour and the homeowners all have a pre-thing. So if you think you might be interested in helping out, you could call that number, and next year you could get involved. And the pre-tours are wonderful as well. It's like a guided tour with the homeowner at each one of the homes, and great snacks. It's a lot of fun. All right. Well, thank you, Pamela.
Thank you.
Everyone to come on Saturday the 13th, starting at 9:30 to get tickets until 1, and the tour going from 1 to 3, 10 to 3. And I'll be at one of the gardens. So if you wanted to run into me, you can do that. All right. Let's talk about next week. Next week will be to your health, and Yvonne Edwards, psychologist, and Liz Covey, family and child art therapist, will be talking about play therapy for children, adults, and families. Art isn't just for children, and that should be a lot of fun. You're listening to Dig in the Dirt. I'm Ann Goldine. Talk to you in a week. Have a great one.